so thankful for it. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to preach just a few minutes this morning. The Lord being my help. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to preach. Praise the Lord. We got a visitor this morning. A preacher sitting back here said if I didn't preach good this morning, that he would know all the radio sermons he heard was fake. Amen. They've been listening to us for a long time on the radio. And we appreciate the radio ministry. Appreciate those of you that give and support that. Thank God for it. Amen. Now, I'm not a hacking preacher this morning. I'm just coughing. So if it sounds like I'm hacking, I'll just try to incorporate that into my preaching this morning. I'm going to preach a simple message. The last Sunday of this year, I'm going to preach on this, the will of God. The will of God. Many times Christian people in their lives, they wonder what God's will is for them. What does God want me to do specifically? I want to give you a few things here this morning and tell you what the will of God is. And I believe it'll help you. And you can, what you have to do as a Christian, you have to seek God and pray what God wants you to do. Everybody has a general rule that what God wants them to do. But specifically, God may have something specifically for you to do for Him. And if He does, you'll know it. Usually when people come to me and they say, preacher, how do you know if you're called to preach? And usually I say something like this. If you're called, you wouldn't have to be asking me. You'd know it. I mean, when God called me to preach as a young man, when I was 20 years old, I ran from God so long that when I got saved, I mean, God began to nudge at my heart. I did not. My daddy was a preacher. I didn't call my daddy outside and say, Daddy, tell me how am I supposed to know? What's the signs of being called to preach? And I didn't have to do that. I was troubled, but I knew God wanted me to preach. And by the way, I don't regret it. I'm not sorry that I did. I'm glad that I surrendered as a young man to try to obey the Lord. Hadn't done much with it. Ain't amounted to much, but thank God. I gladly say by just my entire adult life I've spent living for Him and trying to serve Him, trying to preach, trying to help a few people. And I'm glad, brother and sister, that one of these days there's going to come a payday. Amen? In Romans chapter number 12, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not transformed to this world, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've often wondered about that perfect will of God. I believe it's, I'll kind of picture it like this, if I can give you an idea, visual idea in your mind what it's like. It's like a circle, you know, that the outer circle when you get saved, that's the will of God, the good will of God. And then you get into that inner circle, that's the acceptable will of God. That's where most Christians spend their lives. Then there's that center part, that center of God's will, that perfect will of God. And you can live there. Most Christians don't. Most Christians do not experience that Spirit-filled life. Most Christians come out of Egypt, they come out of bondage, and they get saved, give their heart to the Lord. But they never really fully, really, totally and completely sell out and totally surrender to God to do what God wants them to do. I'll tell you why in just a minute. Amen? Brother, I'll tell you, I want the will of God for my life, don't you? Amen. I want the will of God for my family. I want my wife and kids to be in God's will as well. I don't want to be just in God's will and my wife and kids not be in God's will. I want my whole family tied up and wrapped up in God's will. I want Grace Baptist Church to be in God's will. I want God to look down at us and say, I'm well pleased with the way things are going. Amen? I want God to look down and be pleased with what He sees in our church, brother. It don't matter if you get your way or not. It don't matter if I get my way or not. As long as God has His way, brother, that's all that's going to matter. That's all that's going to matter when everything's said and done and the rubber meets the pavement, brother, is that God is pleased with what He sees in our life and in our family and in our church. Oh, brother, I thank God. My heart's desire, it should be for you for 2011. Oh, God, let me be in your will this year. Oh God, let this be the greatest year of my life, Lord, is serving you as far as being in your will. God, let this year be the year that I find the perfect will of God. Amen, brother. I want you to know you can find the perfect will of God if you want to. Amen. I want to say number one. I want to say the good will of God, that's your salvation. The good will of God, he said, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. The good will of God is your salvation. Everybody here, if you're saved this morning, you have God's good will. Amen. Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to say I'm so glad this morning that it's God's good will for you to get saved. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, it is not God's will for you to die lost and go to hell. I want you to know that God in heaven, He looked down and saw the sinful nature of man, and He saw the condition in this world, and He saw that you was going to die lost, undone without God, and go to hell. And He sent His darling, precious Son to this world. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know, listen, that sin has you bound, and sin's going to take you to hell. Oh, the Bible said without hope and without God. But God, who's rich in mercy, amen, shed His blood for us on the cross. Oh, thank God, the Bible said that God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my friend, I want you to know, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, it's you He died for. It's you He went to the cross for. It's you that He shed His blood for. It's God's good will for you this morning. God died. God sent His Son in this whole world to die for poor, lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. I want you to know if you're a drunk, God loves you, and Jesus died for you. I want you to know if you're a dope head, Jesus Christ died to break the bonds of sin for you. I want you to know if you're hooked and you're addicted to something, that Jesus Christ, He can break the bonds of sin. It's God's good will to save your soul this morning. It's the good will of God for you, salvation. There ain't nothing greater. I like it when we're sitting around here and it starts moving and stirring around, and somebody in the choir starts saying, I want to thank God for my salvation. Oh, brother, that's greater than thanking God for a house or a car or pretty clothes or anything else. Oh, to know that you shouldn't be in hell, that you ought to be in hell with your back broke. But God, in His mercy, looked down and saw that you was undone and lost, and there's no hope for you. You couldn't get yourself out. But God, He loved you enough, and He saved your soul. But I'll tell you, it's the good will of God to save men and women this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I'm like what Brother Joe was saying in Sunday school this morning. Why, it ain't God's will to send nobody to hell. It ain't God's will to send anybody to a devil's hell. It's not God's will that any would perish. It's not God's will that any man or any woman or boy or girl would die and live in this world and be miserable and blind and poor. I'm talking spiritually and miss what me and you feel deep down in our soul. I want you to know it's God's good will. It's the good will of God. We've been talking this week about Christmas. You know what the angel said? They said peace on earth and good will toward man. That's what it was. It wasn't about presents at a Christmas tree. It was God's good will that He come to this world to save man from their sin. Brother, God's plan was implemented way back in the Garden of Eden when Eve reached up and took of that fruit and took a bite. And from that moment on, God had a plan. As a matter of fact, God had a plan before the foundation of the world to save dying sinners. Oh, brother, if we ever get away from that, we're lost. I mean, we're lost as a golf ball in high weeds. I want you to know something today. It's the will of God for you to be saved this morning. I know what people think. They go to church, and I thought the same way growing up. I was a Baptist preacher's son, and I was lost as a goose. And they get up there and shout and run around and run the aisles. And Baptists used to shout like that, too. Now you can't get them to grunt. You can't even get them to show up. But I want to tell you something about it. I sat back, and I thought, well, maybe that's not for me. Maybe that's for them people because they don't know how bad I am. I mean, just as a young man, I've done some bad stuff. You might be here this morning. You might say, preacher, if you just knew what I've done, you wouldn't be up there preaching that. You know what? If I knew what you'd done, I'd preach it harder. Because Jesus' blood, brother, I want to tell you what, Jesus didn't come here to shed His blood for good people. Amen. Jesus said, the well need not a physician, but them that are sick. He didn't call to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners to repentance. He came for hell, deserving, dying, lost men and women that was hopeless. Was without God. That's the very ones that He came to this earth for.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you're off there preaching on salvation. What else is there? Why not throw the net out a little further and get a few more in? If what we got so great, why don't we want to share it with somebody? The goodwill of God is salvation. I remember as a young man, I thought, well, maybe that wasn't for me. And people come to church and I think they look around, they think, well, I'm not dressed up. I don't have a pretty dress, and I don't have a pretty suit. You don't have to have a pretty dress or a pretty suit. I don't have a pretty dress. I got a couple pretty suits, but I ain't got no dresses. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm just trying to tell you, brother and sister, Jesus Christ came for that drunkard. He came for that dope addict. Every time I see somebody on the street and they're sleeping on the sidewalk, I tell my kids, I say, kids, look at them people right there. Don't you ever laugh at them people, because they was somebody's kid. That's somebody's daughter or somebody's son. That's somebody's daddy out there. That's somebody's mama pushing that grocery cart. And one day, somewhere down the road, somebody talked her into taking a drink or taking a drag or popping a pill. And that's gone to a needle and smoking crack and taking meth and prostitution. Now she's bound and now the devil's got her and she's ruined. Her life's going down the tubes. Oh, brother and sister, we need people now with a broken heart for sinners. Brother, we ought to be evangelistic in our approach this year. It's the will of God when we go out. I mean, when we go out on visitation, some of you would be surprised some of the places we go. Some of the places we go, I hear people back to back saying things. Boy, this is a rough neighborhood out here. And Miss Kelly, some of the girls will get out and they'll say, ain't no men getting out with us. We figure if she can't talk them down, we can't beat them down. I'm just kidding, honestly. But really, you know what we do? We look at it like this. There's a lot of those people out there, they don't know. They may not know there's a God that loves them. They may not know that there's a Savior that cares. They may not realize that we have hope, that we're going to give it to them. And it's free, and it's called the gospel, and it's the will of God to save those people. I want to say, number two, first of all, the will of God, that's your salvation. But number two, the acceptable will of God, that's your service. That's what you do for the Lord. You think about what you did in 2010, and think about what you plan on doing in 2011. Some people, their walk with the Lord is nothing more than going to church whenever they decide to go and it's convenient. But I want to tell you something, brother. One of these days we're going to stand before God. And the Bible said every man is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what I'm talking about, our service for the Lord. Oh, brother, I hate to live my life. I'm just a young squirrel. I ain't but 52. But I hate to live to be 70 or 80 or 90 and stand before God and serve God since I was 20 years old and not have anything to show for it. You remember that Christmas play last Sunday night when they had Jesus sitting up here on His throne and those kids come up and knelt down with their treasures? The same. I thought hit me. I thought, what am I going to give Him? What am I going to have? I'll tell you, brother, listen, you get treasure and you get those things that you lay up on the other side. They don't just come to you. You got to work for them. You don't work to get saved. You work because you're saved. Amen. You work for those treasures and you work for those crowns and those things that you're going to present to the blessed Savior one day when you meet Him face to face. And I want you to know, brother, that's the acceptable will of God. Jesus Christ will accept those gifts and those honor. We're talking about the means of your work. What do you do? James said this, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. Be a doer. This coming year, be a doer. Get involved. Do something. Some of you here has never been on visitation. Just come up and just come on, go with us. Your first time out, we won't even make you get out of the van. We'll just let you ride. And you watch. You can watch us run from dogs and pick cotton in somebody else's cotton patch and all that stuff. Amen? I'm just messing with you right there, but I'm just saying, it's the acceptable will of God. The means is what you do. I want to do something for God. I want to do more for the Lord. Listen, my prayer to God this year is, God, help me to be a better preacher in 2011 than I was in 2010. Help me read my Bible more. Help me pray more. Help me lead my family in a straighter path. I want you to know something, brother. That's the means. That's the acceptable will of God. And it's our service to Him.
Amen.
Our means is what you do. Our manner is how you do it. How do you do what you do? Well, the Bible said in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. That word heartily means with all your heart.
Amen.
Now, if I preach this morning about how I feel, I told Brother Sam I'm going to preach in a recliner this morning. I was just messing with him the other day. I said, I'm going to get me a recliner up there and preach. I mean, really, sometimes if you went by what you feel, you couldn't do much. But the Bible said, do it heartily. Do it with everything that's within you. When you go out on visitation, knock on those doors. I mean, act like it means something to you, brother. I mean, don't go to the door and say, hey, you wouldn't want to come down to our church, would you? I'll blame you by. I mean, you ain't going to get nothing like that. I mean, knock on the door. Listen, brother, I walked in where Debbie works the other day, and she had a man and his wife cornered. I thought she was going to lead them to the Lord right there in the appliance store. You need to come to our church. Well, I praise God. It's the greatest church in blood. She was just going on and on, and here I come walking in. Here's the preacher. I think I killed it. But your manner, your means and your manner is how you do it. When you're judged by how you do it, and your motive, that's why do you do what you do. And I'm going to tell you, that's where you're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's where you're going to get. That's where you're going to be judged by what crown you get. The judgment seat of Christ ain't about whether or not you're saved. That's the gifts and the things that you've earned since you've been saved so that you can give back to Him someday.
Amen.
It's like the Olympics, you know. Those people don't get the gold and the bronze and the silver. They get those because they performed. They're not up there to decide who's in the race. They already know they're in the race. They've already run it. But they're receiving the awards. And someday we'll do the same. And that's the acceptable will of God. There's five different crowns mentioned in the Bible. And I hope that we plan on doing something for the Lord. We have the right motive. And the motive is this. This is the only motive that I believe will receive a crown. Is those that do what they do because they love Him.
Amen.
If you mow the grass or vacuum the carpet or drive the bus or whatever it is you do, if you do it just because you love the Lord and no other reason, you'll receive a reward. If you do what you do out of intimidation or out of fear or trying to impress somebody else in the church, Jesus said the scribes and the Pharisees, they have their reward. When people pat you on the back, lift you up, and brag on you and glorify you, you have your reward. You're not going to get one on the other side.
Amen.
Amen. That's why some people tell things they shouldn't tell. There's certain things I could tell, but I'm not going to. I'm not saying I'm anything great. There's certain things I just don't want to tell because I'm afraid I might jeopardize my reward. I don't want to get to bragging on them. People say, wow, you believe Brother Ronnie did that? Or can you believe, wow, isn't that wow, that's impressive. And then I get to heaven. Lord, so you already got your reward down there. Remember that? I don't want to do that. Jesus said, lay not up treasures here where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures over yonder where moths can't and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves neither can break through and steal.
Amen.
I want to lay something up over yonder. So someday when we get to heaven, remember that song we sing, My Savior, first of all? I want to see all those things and all those people. But I want to see Him. That's acceptable will of God. Number three, the good will of God, the acceptable will of God. But number three, let's look at the perfect will of God. I said the good will of God is your salvation. The acceptable will of God is your service. But the perfect will of God is your sacrifice. I believe people that's in the perfect will of God have to give up some things. No other way. You've got to sacrifice. You have to get to a place where you realize that you have to give of yourself and your time and your efforts and your talent and your abilities and your money and sometimes your homes and no matter whatever it may be, your country. You may have to leave the country and go to a mission field. Whatever it may be, it's a sacrifice. That's the perfect will of God. For the grace of God, Titus said, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. To be in the perfect will of God, a man or a woman has to give up a few things. Jesus said this, and He told His disciples, He said, you can't even be My disciple unless first of all you deny yourself.
Amen.
That's going to be your greatest hurdle. If you can get over self, self wants this, self wants that, self wants that. Self wants to give Santa Claus a Christmas list, this is what I want. But a sacrificial life is the other way around. We're raising a generation now of kids that's growing up thinking about me. I want more money. I want a new car. I want new clothes. I want this. I want that. We're not raising a generation like it used to be. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of kids grew up and had the attitude and they had manners and respect and they had an attitude of service. But now you don't see that. Think about this. It used to be you go in a store, you go in a restaurant or a place to buy gas, and people had attitude of service. Sir, what else can I do for you? Now you walk in the store, they want to get off the phone and ring you up. And you say, I ain't coming back in here anymore. They say, I don't care. So I want to talk to the manager. They say, I am the manager. I want to talk to the owner. I am the owner. That's right. I'm just trying to tell you something. That the perfect will of God is going to involve some sacrifice. You have to give up some things. The Bible tells us that there's wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. The wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stones will remain. And those things are precious and priceless. And those things that are hard to get.
Amen.
It's not easy to get. It's not easy to get your hands on gold and diamonds and silver. Everybody can get it. Anybody can get hay and wood and stubble, right? But you're going to have gold and silver and all that stuff. Not many people have that. Amen? But listen, you're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to give up your will. You have to give up your will. Proverbs 21:2 said, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Everybody thinks they're right. That's like Elvis Presley. You sing that song, I did it my way. He did it his way, but he died a young man. Amen? That's right. All these rock stars and movie stars, they're doing it their way, but their way don't work. Their way is wrong. Their way is the way of abomination, and it's going to take them to hell. You have to give up your will. You have to give up the world. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're supposed to be disconnected from this world. Amen? The perfect will of God is to learn to give up those things, your will and the world. And you have to give up your worry. Amen? If you want to really be able to live a sacrificial life and live in the perfect will of God, you're going to have to quit questioning God on every little thing. We're going to have to get to the place where we just believe God. Amen? Just trust Him, brother. Hey, everything don't have to make sense. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. You ain't supposed to understand it. I ain't supposed to understand it. If I had my way, you would agree. If we had our way, we'd like to be sitting on about $500,000 in our church, wouldn't we? Then we could do anything we wanted to, anytime. But you know what? We probably wouldn't lay around this altar very much then either. Amen. If we had all that money, we'd just go out and buy anything we wanted to do. We wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need God to supply our needs. We wouldn't have to pray and say, God, we need this, and I don't know how we're going to do it. But God, supply the need. We'd already have it laid up in the bank. We're just going to have to trust Him. The perfect will of God is our sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice this morning? Ronnie, come get us a song. What are you willing to sacrifice this year? I know that we all want what we want when we want it. But the perfect will of God, if you'll read in the Bible, there were some people that was in the perfect will of God, and they spent a lot of time in jail. They got beat. They got arrested. They got mistreated. Well, preacher, I don't understand why everybody don't like me. Jesus said the world's going to hate you. He told us up front the world's going to hate us. And those people lived in the perfect will of God, and then if you'll follow church history, all down through church history, some of those people suffered horrendous things. If you'll read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you haven't read that, you ought to buy it this year and read it. And that's a fact. That's documented stuff that happened. And those people had something. Me and Debbie was talking one day. I'm not saying as far as their salvation, we're saved as they were. But there's something different about a man. nowadays that won't go to church because the temperature dropped below 45 degrees or whatever. And another man back in history that didn't have running water and electricity, and the Roman soldiers come and kill his family one at a time, and he still would not recant what he believed. They said, if you'll deny Jesus Christ, we'll let this one live. And he said, I can't. Whack, they'd kill him. I read about this one man who took his kids one at a time, took them by the ankles, and beat them against the wall, bashed their brains out. Four little kids, little ones. He said, all right, that's one down. You got three more kids. They can live if you'll recant Christ, and you'll pray to the saints and do homage to the Pope and all that stuff. But I can't do it, Jesus is real. And they grabbed the next one and slammed its brains out. You say, preacher, that's awful. It is awful. That's the persecution of the early church. And nowadays, brother and sister, we got tracts back there on the wall. Some of you won't even get a handful of tracts to take with you. Talk to people all day long, won't even tell them you go to church. Won't sacrifice. I mean, we won't even go to church when it's good. We got carpet and padded pews. And we got pews just so our bodies won't get uncomfortable. We got perfect climate control, temperature, and perfect lighting and everything. We won't even go to church. Then people lived in caves and dungeons, had church in basements, under back porches, down by the river, and all kinds of mess and disease, just so they could get them a little piece, a part of a copy of a Bible, and read it, and hear about Jesus. And look how good we got it. We won't even go to church. Sacrifice. We don't know what sacrifice is in America. We ought to find the perfect will of God, and if it means sacrifice, so be it. Let's all stand this morning.